You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Wait for me. I'm coming. Wait, I'm coming with you.
You're listening to Way Down Hadestown, a miniseries from The Ensemblist, the only podcast that shows you Broadway from the inside out. Welcome back. I'm Mo Brady.
Wait for me. I'm coming.
Hey guys, this is our mini-series from The Ensemblist, where we are speaking to the entire ensemble of a Broadway musical. Yes, there are only five of them, but we've sat down with each one of them to hear, one by one, what it's been like to be in the newest Tony Award winner for Best Musical. They share their thoughts about the characters they've created and the careers that got them there. Kimberly Marable recently completed a five-year residency in the ensemble of The Lion King on Broadway. Beforehand, she had made her debut as a replacement in Sister Act. In addition to her work on stage, she's one of the co-founders of Broadway Serves, an organization for Broadway community members looking to be the change they want to see in the world. In Hadestown, Kimberly plays worker number one and covers the role of Persephone and the Fates. Here's our conversation. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you introduce yourself and tell us what neighborhood of New York City you live in?
Yes, my name is Kimberly Marable. I am actually born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, Crown Heights, Brooklyn, but I live in Harlem now.
So when was the... and you play worker number one.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
I sing soprano, in quotes.
In quotes? Sure, we can get to that part later.
Okay.
What was the first time you heard about Hadestown?
The first time I heard about Hadestown was actually about a year ago. A friend of mine is one of the co-producers and was just like, you have to hear this music. I was like, okay. And I sort of pushed it off to the side. But then like a week later, I was called in to audition. They were doing a choreographic like workshop type thing before they went to London. And so then I did actually listen to the music and was like, this is unreal. And so I got to do the workshop, which was really cool.
What was that audition process like? Was it
fast?
Fast, okay.
Yeah. What was great about it is that they had the concept album, they had the New York Theater Workshop recording.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know, or as most of our listeners probably know, this music is unlike anything else you will hear on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
So that was super helpful because we had maybe a 24-hour turnaround of having to learn material from the show for the auditions. And especially for the London production, they were trying out new vocal arrangements as well.
Ah, so it was vocals and movement. Okay.
It was vocals and movement because they were really trying to solidify the purpose of the worker chorus. They had sort of experimented with it in Canada, and I think they wanted to take the next step farther. So we were the guinea pigs a year ago.
And so what kind of things did you work on? Do you remember specific songs, specific pieces of movement?
One of them actually is in the show. We worked on Wait For Me, mm-hmm. The first one with the lights and the marching and all of that.
Wait, with the big lights?
With the big lights.
Okay, we saw on the Tony Awards.
Yes, exactly. We didn't have the actual lights, but we were told that that's what they would be. So we were walking around in circles and, you know, showing our lights.
With things hanging from the ceiling?
No.
No, you're just like...
We were pantomiming the whole time.
You were acting.
Yeah, yes, acting, darling.
And what about the vocal parts?
Even since then, it's grown so much. There are a lot of arrangements in the whole show, not just for Wait For Me, where we're all singing separate parts. And so you'll find that there are, with all 13 of us on stage, 13 different vocal parts that are being sung. I do believe that we started that kind of interesting work a year ago.
That must be so frightening for your swings.
Oh, yes. I'm glad I don't have to do it, but I definitely give kudos to them.
All right, so you did this, was it a 2-week workshop?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then you put this experience on the shelf?
Yes.
And
not too far on the shelf, though, because I definitely fell in love with the music and with the team. Specifically, our choreographer, David Newman, is just mind-blowingly awesome. And Rachel and just everyone. I was sort of following it in London from afar. Just be like, oh, this is who they brought. This is exciting. Oh, Amber's still there. That's really great. Oh, I really like her songs. Oh, this is really cool. Well, they seem to really love it in London. We'll see what happens if it comes back. And then all of a sudden they got a theater and I was like, oh my gosh, it's happening. It's happening. It's happening. I need to like find all the music. I need to just be ready and be available for when hopefully they call me in for an audition.
And so they call you in. When was this?
Just before Christmas.
Man.
This was so fast. So they found a theater in the late fall while they were still very much in their London run. And we were called in for an audition the last 2 weeks of December before Christmas. And I think their intention was to cast the whole thing in those 2 weeks. Which was ambitious.
Ambitious.
I will say.
They were looking for you five on stage, three fates, four swings.
Yes.
Got it. Yes. It's a lot to do in them.
And coverage amongst all of that.
Sure.
I am super excited because I've always sort of identified with Persephone and just her joy for life and nature and just having her own opinions about everything. I got to go in for the Persephone understudy.
So how many times did you go in? Do you remember?
Over the two-week period, we went in a few times. But I was fortunate, and by Christmas, I knew what was happening moving forward.
Good for you.
Yes.
So one of the things that on paper seems so incredible about your position in the company is that you understudy the fates.
Mm-hmm.
All three of them?
Just one.
Okay.
Yes.
That makes my heart a little happier. Okay.
Me too. Although, I mean, maybe down the line.
Sure.
That would be cool. But no, I understudy the fate three. She sings the lowest vocal part.
So you're the soprano part in your normal track, and then you're the tenor, the baritone.
Yes.
In your understudy track.
Yes, using my full range.
Oh my goodness.
And I have to learn how to play the accordion.
Right.
Which I definitely did not know how to play before.
So tell me about worker number one.
Yeah.
Does she have a name?
Oh. I've always thought of her as me, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what's great about our show and it being Greek mythology is that we are truly an active Greek chorus. So on the one hand, we're backing people up like a standard like musical theater chorus.
Mm-hmm.
An example of that would be like Come Home With Me with Orpheus, and we're sort of singing his backup vocals in the beginning of the song. But then throughout pretty much the whole rest of the show, we get to have an opinion on the action that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And we sort of become the conduit for the audience to be on the journey with us.
Right.
Which is exciting. As an actor, it allows me to be my most honest and truthful self.
So you see yourself being, that's Kimberly, you're you.
I'm me, yeah.
And are you when we go down to Hadestown?
I think so.
Your worker is also you in those circumstances?
Yes, I think so. For me it is anyway. I don't know what the other people think. But
so far, we've spoken to three people and everyone's had a different opinion, which I love.
Yeah.
There's no right answer.
Well, that's one of the things that I love about Rachel is that she really encourages us to bring our own thoughts to the process. Essentially, that everyone has a seat and a voice at the table. And as long as it makes dramatic sense, then she's like, go for it. Let's just make sure we're all telling the same story here.
That's a great leader.
Yeah. I'd follow her anywhere.
One of the challenges, I would think, of performing this material is that it's very sad and yet told in a very joyous way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm intrigued by some of the first lyrics you sing in the show are, it's a sad song.
Yeah.
But you're singing it with, I don't know, sort of hope and excitement about telling the story. How do you marry those two ideas, the extreme sadness of the show with your excitement to make us hear it?
Yeah, that is the joyful part, is that it is an old song, it is a sad song, but we get to tell it, and we get to tell it again and again in case it might turn out differently. You know, for a metaphor for life, we try things that are difficult. Sometimes they don't work out, at all, but it doesn't mean that we should give up. There's still hope for a better outcome, but we can't have the better outcome if we don't try again.
So you come to Hadestown off of a five-year run in The Lion King.
Yes.
Which you joined, what, 15 years into, about 15 years into it?
Almost 20 years.
Almost 20 years.
Yeah.
Talk about the challenges of stepping into someone else's shoes, literally someone else's shoes with The Lion King.
Well, when I joined Lion King, I actually was stepping into some huge shoes, like massive, because I was replacing Rima Webb.
Oh, yeah.
So she's epic.
She's kind of a legend among Broadway ensemble actors. She's the original, in the Book of Mormon, she originated the sort of fake Rafiki part. If you saw Violet, their Tony Award performance, she's leading that. She's an incredible force of a performer. Oh, she was one of the church ladies in the revival of
The Color Purple.
We could talk a lot about Rima Webb.
Anyway. Rima Webb is epic.
Yes.
She's about to be one of the fates.
Oh, right.
In Hercules.
Yes.
She never stops working. But I'm glad that she gave me a job too.
So you're stepping into Rima's shoes. That's energetically and just vocationally a lot to step into.
Definitely. And in terms of Lion King history, she had been there for 15 years.
I can tell that Hadestown has a special place in your heart, but The Lion King must have a special place in your bank account and your sense of stability as an artist.
Definitely.
Talk about the leap.
Well, the leap really was a natural one, and it's not the first time that I've made a leap, to be honest. I was on the first national tour of Book of Mormon, and my gut said I had to go, and so I did. And 2 or 3 months later, I booked Lion King. So I've always been a proponent of following your heart. You obviously can't be reckless. I don't know, my heart said that this was where I needed to be, and so it was where I decided to go. I'm definitely thankful for all the things that The Lion King afforded me. I mean, apartments, doctors, lifelong friends, a job if I needed it, like if I needed to go back to Lion King.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere.
No.
And they like returnees. But if you've had a good experience, they'll
bring you back for sure. So I took a leave of absence and to do another show, and Rima came back to her old track while I was gone. So they definitely bring people back.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Talk about the family atmosphere at the Kerr right now.
Oh, we're still learning each other.
Yeah?
But it's a lot of fun. For example, the other night we had a fish fry, and it was great fun. We were allowed to bring our partners and our families, kids.
Where did you fry?
Our associate director, Tamala Woodard, she has a lovely backyard.
Oh.
And she is the master fryer. And so we had fish, we had shrimp. She was frying vegetables, potatoes, and all sorts of stuff. And it was yet another opportunity for us to get together, the crew, the band, the creative team, cast, to just be together and drink each other up. We had a similar experience right after we got to the theater. Hurley's is right across the street from the Kerr. So we went there and just sat around a huge table and bonded. People brought their instruments. There was an accordion. There were multiple guitars. We were singing along. Like, it was a really nice experience. And I think we're all, again, we just opened in April, so it's still pretty new.
What's easier, doing a show where you're on stage the whole time like Hadestown, or doing a show where you're on and off like The Lion King, or Sister Act, you know, any show where the ensemble spends a good amount of time off stage?
They're definitely different experiences. I think what I prefer about the Hadestown experience is that I get to be an active participant in the action and an active participant in forwarding the story as opposed to a bystander. I mean, it definitely allows for less time on my phone. So if I need to like catch up on emails or anything like that, like there's intermission and that's pretty much it. If I had to choose, I prefer the Hadestown experience.
Being busier.
Yes, busier. I mean, there are times we're on stage and we're literally just sitting there, mm-hmm. Being active observers or just experiencing what's happening. And we can, you know, have our own silent opinion about it that we can emote, which is awesome. We're sort of every man. And that's what I love about, gosh, Anais's lyrics are just so smart and truthful. It's a world of God and gods and man, and we all stand up. Like, we are every man, and we are your way through this journey. We are all different. The five of us, you know, people watching are all different. We're all going to have a different reaction to a shared experience. And even with that, you know, every day is going to be a different reaction to a shared experience because, you know, maybe I woke up and was super happy. Maybe one day I was really hungry. Just like, I appreciate being able to use all of my humanness to tell this story.
Special thanks to Kimberly Marable for sharing her stories with us this week. You can learn more about her and how to connect with her online by visiting our website, theensemblist.com. The Ensemblist was produced today by me, Mo Brady. Help others find out about The Ensemblist, guys. It's that rating and review. Open up that podcast app. There's those stars. There's like 5 white stars, and you can fill many of them, 3 or 4 or 5 of them, with color. What an artistic expression that would be for you. And it also help others learn about the podcast. So that'd be great too. You can also follow us on Instagram where we share original photography, new episodes, first person blogs from actors and other community members. It's a fantastic resource for anyone who just loves theater. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. Until next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.